First of all, Giles, Merry Christmas. Hope your day's going well.
And happy Christmas to you. Yes, look, it's always hard to tell for a film critic whether today is the biggest day or whether tomorrow is the biggest day, because Boxing Day, kind of big in the film world.
Yeah, we talked last week about Boxing Day and the movies coming out in the wake of the Star Wars epic, or the juggernaut, whichever way you like to put it. But still, there are some movies coming out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, it's not the week before Star Wars where literally everyone just ran for the hills and you couldn't find anything. This week we do get essentially a whole bunch of people trying to counter program. So, look, there's some films I won't bother reviewing. Alvin and the Chipmunks 4, Road Chip.
Right.
If that pun has you lying on the floor in hysterics, A, drink less, but B, you're the person who should go and see that film.
Right.
Daddy's Home sees Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg compete as daddies. In a very mainstream comedy. Haven't seen it. Certainly don't think it's going out for the Oscars.
Right.
That's there. You've got a Khan film, Youth, which has Michael Caine. Other end of the scale, very much, your Khan stuff could be on the outskirts of Oscars competition, but really it's just there for the genuinely erudite, those who, have been avoiding Star Wars because it's just so common. but there are a couple of films aiming for that sort of mainstream territory, which are less afraid of Star Wars, shall we say.
What are they?
Well, look, I think the biggest is The Good Dinosaur. This is, Boxing Day is, if nothing else, always likely to see a couple of family films land, one of which is obviously Alvin and the Chipmunks 4, but The Good Dinosaur is more that that clever end of it. This is a Disney flick, and it sets the premise as what if the asteroid that killed off the dinosaurs missed? So great extinction event failed to occur, thus dinosaurs continued, and it sets up the notion that essentially, without obviously actually really scientifically exploring it, the dinosaurs are the ones that evolved, and there is a human who is in the form of a pet. So it is a young dinosaur who is the hero, or the protagonist, and then it has a pet in the form of a small, probably the missing link child. So it's a fun sort of spin on the tradition. This is very much, this is a quality film in the adults will have fun, but they definitely will have gone to see it with their kids sort of territory. Yep. It's not Inside Out was, the absolute banner waver for family-friendly, adult-friendly films this year. But The Good Dinosaur leans more towards kids.
Right.
But it's certainly, a good effort in that regard.
Yeah. Okay, others?
Others, well, at the other end of the extreme is a really good film called Suffragette. I suppose I should say I'm ashamed to admit how little I really knew about the suffragette movement. Obviously, the broad brushstrokes, very proud of the fact that Australia was second behind New Zealand in terms of countries that gave women the vote.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the movement, at least certainly the history that's covered in the film Suffragette, is the movement in England. And without getting into spoiler territory, and it's going to be a strange thing to say, it's a spoiler for real life, but there was one historical moment in the Suffragette movement, and without giving away too much, I'll just say that it happened at the races.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know that, it's an incredible moment in this film. But for those who do know what I'm referring to, this gives you the lead up to that very emblematic historic moment in the suffragette movement. So it's it sets at the just before World War One. It is we are sort of experiencing through the eyes of one woman who works in a wash house her entry into the suffragette movement. What is essentially in modernized, a slightly terrorist organization in terms of their action, but obviously one with our modern view back, we're just boggled by what they were trying, the fact that they had to fight for what they were fighting for. But this film's really powerful. It gives some great insights into the bigger issues. I think it's really easy in hindsight to sort of sit there and go, the vote was important, but what did it really mean?
And this
sort of sets it in the context of how women's rights and human rights for women was so vastly tied up in that question. And I mean, you've got an incredible cast. Carey Mulligan is the lead in it, but, you know, I've got small names like Helena Bonham Carter and Meryl Streep turning up in this.
Yeah.
And probably unsurprisingly, it is that rare thing, a genuinely female-dominated cast. And for that reason, it is just, you know, wall-to-wall great actresses, both names that we know and faces that you just recognize and go, oh, I love her. I don't know her name.
Okay.
There's a couple of key roles for actors, but this was a film that I sort of, you always go into something like this a little worried that you're going to get a bit of a soapbox lecture, and it's far from that. This is a really good narrative. It's a really solid story. I just had a great time, but also come away thinking that I was so glad to have been so more informed coming out than I had been going in.
All right. Any other Boxing Day movies you want to talk about before we go on to New Year's Eve, the next point at which some new ones will pop up?
Indeed. Well, look, there are quite a few and worth checking out, but the other final one is Joy, which is there's a sort of strange trinity that happens in Hollywood now, which is you get Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in the lead female and male roles in a film, and they get directed by David O. Russell.
Yeah.
This is, you know, they've done this quite a few times now, and it is a very powerful grouping. Joy is the latest. It's the story of this generations of a family that's set around the character of Joy, played by Jennifer Lawrence, and she is essentially down on her luck in more ways than you can possibly count. And she comes up with this sort of idea for a business, and it's watching her try and power her way through create a business from scratch, through to sort of creating a business dynasty. David O. Russell gave us, with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle. I don't think this is quite up there at the same level, but it's a really interesting film. I think it struggles a little bit for knowing what genre it's trying to be. But for those who like chemistry between Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, it's certainly got that. And Robert De Niro turns up again, who really is becoming the fourth member of that trio. He was in the others as well. Mm. Certainly a solid film in terms of the people behind it.
Righto, Joy out Boxing Day. Let's have a look at some for New Year's Eve. Anything significant?
It is a two-horse race, and it is one of the stranger two-horse races you're going to encounter for a while. Look at the fun end, and I have seen, because I apologise, I haven't seen the next one, but we'll all have a sense we know what it's like. But
yeah.
The one I have seen is Snoopy and Charlie Brown, the Peanuts movie.
Right.
Which is a cumbersome title, because I think they're trying to hit as many buzzwords with the hope that generations under the age of 30 would recognise the characters.
Yeah.
It's Snoop. Basically, everyone's just going to call it the Snoopy movie. And this is, I was really nervous going into this. I was worried that it was just going to be flogging a dead beagle. But instead, I had great fun with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. And most importantly, I took my five-year-old along. He had a ball. He was literally screaming with laughter. There's a test with him, which is the how many times does he ask, is this going to be over soon?
Yeah.
And that's not to say, if he asks that it's a bad time. It's a question of how many times. He asked six times during Shaun the Sheep, to give you context. And that was a good film. He really liked that.
Right.
This one he only asked twice.
Wow.
He was absolutely captivated.
Blockbuster.
So he loved it. And I was a big fan of Snoopy back in the day. I used to read the books and the strips, when we read things on paper. And it was, this was just such a great meander down memory lane while still feeling fresh. So it's all of the same stories. You know, Charlie Brown tries to fly kites. Charlie Brown's trying to, get a date. His friends always feel like these strange fair weather friends. It covers all of that. Plus, of course, you have Snoopy fighting the Red Baron.
Yep.
But it's just, it's tied together really well. The Schultz family were involved in making it, but it's the team behind films like Ice Age that have made it in the modern sense. So really interesting visual style with a combination of computer and hand-drawn animation. I really do recommend this. Again, it does skew young, oddly enough. I'd say if you're an adult who just likes Snoopy, you can probably wait. But this is, if you've got kids, they really will.
All right.
It's so nice to see them discover a character that we all know.
Yeah, terrific.
Point Break. The Point Break we all know and love, the the Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, surfer bank robber film has been remade.
Oh.
Yes, that's the appropriate noise. I haven't seen it, so I can't judge other than in a prejudging kind of way. What we know is that where that film was set around the notion of essentially the ex-presidents was a gang of robbers who were taking advantage of their bank robberies to fund skydiving and surfing. With the advent of the extreme sports in the last few decades since that film was made, this is a new version that has all sorts of extreme sports going on. So from what I understand, essentially there seems to be some sort of eight great extreme sports challenges that they're trying to fulfill, and are turning to crime to fund those. With a slight sort of Robin Hood aspect as well of trying to, take from the rich. But, this is going to be, it's just going to be really interesting. We get the critics don't get to see it until the day before. I think with a strong idea in the mind of the mind of those behind it. But really, probably the critics aren't going to be the biggest selling point on this one. So be warned. But look, Catherine Bigelow is probably the biggest loss to my mind. As much as I loved Keanu and Patrick Swayze and all of the rest, and that Gary Busey was particularly memorable. But Catherine Bigelow directed that, and of course she's now one of Hollywood's big directors. So this is directed by a man named Erickson Kaur. His stuff I'm not really that familiar with. He's essentially a background. He's done one of the Fast and Furious films, and he was involved in the first Daredevil film, which is no one's idea of a good recommendation. Mm. But look, it's obviously going to be something that if you decide to see it on a big screen, because I think you're going to get a lot of action. But you're either going to love this or laugh at it. So there's probably something good to be had from it either way.
Righto, Giles. Good to talk to you, mate. And some terrific movies coming up there by the sound of it over Boxing Day and New Year's Eve. Have a great Christmas again, as I say, and great to talk to you.
Okay, happy Christmas, everyone, and in the sense of the time we're in, may the force be with you.